Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends thereof. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And our memory verse is verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Very good. For those that we missed last week, we didn't miss you. You missed out because we were in the second part of verse 11 where it said, in keeping them, there is great reward. So, preacher, by not showing up, you missed a great reward. I'm just messing with you. No. So we did finish up with that last week, and we are talking here now in this section about the way of God, verses 12 through 14. And we didn't touch on that any last week, but we're going to look at verse 12 today, and that is where it says, who can understand his errors, cleanse thou me from secret faults. As I've been studying this psalm over the last weeks, months, however long we've been in it, I don't really keep track of that, but I go as the Lord gives us and what time he gives us and where we go, you get what he gives me, and I do my best to relate that. But as we've been looking at this, we talked the first about the works of God, verses 1 through 6. And then the second part we looked at was through 7 through 11. That was the words of God. And now we're in the third point, main point of the outline here, and that is the way of God found in verses 12 through 14 here. And as we look into this, we think about David as he was pondering the works of God in those first verses, 1 through 6, and how that he was also thinking and pondering on the Word of God, verses 7 through 11. It makes him want to walk more fully in the way of God. What we ponder affects our character desires. We find David here much, I would say, I like that word pondering, much pondering that he's done here or thinking through this chapter. And, you know, we would not redo it all, but thinking about what he started out with and the heavens declaring the glory of God and the firmament showed his handiwork and all that we talked about there, and we just scratched the surface there. But yet, we think about David looking at the skies, the heavens and everything, and just what he saw there and what he wrote down, and then thinking in verses 7 through 11 about the Word of God, how that even though everything is so awesome, looking at the glory of God through the firmament and his handiwork, he stresses that there's an importance, more importance, that of the Word of God here. And we've been through all that. But all that pondering that he does did affect his character desires. If you and I would ponder upon the things of God, it would affect our character desires that we have. You know, sometimes I think about it, some of the things that I want to do or have on, you know, people, what they call it, a bucket list. I got a bucket list. I want to do this and do that and do this and that. And, you know, it's okay to do things, but don't let those things have you. Keep your desires and your wants upon the Word of God. If you grow closer to God, your desires will be more of what he wants. I've heard it said before, I've wrote this down, and I know that I probably don't have it all or completely right, but the more you know him, the more you'll love him. The more you love him, the more you'll serve him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. If we would ponder upon the Word of God and the things of God, we would love him more, and our desires would want to be more and more upon him. Years ago, many years ago, it seems like now, I met Angie, and we started corresponding with each other, and the more that we got to know each other, our courtship or dating, whatever you want to call it, was about 2 years, and that most of that was long distance between here and Florida. But the more that her and I got to talk, the more we wanted to know about each other, the more we desired. We wanted to find out things. I mean, we were headed in the direction of being married, and it's a really good idea if you find out what that person's like. It's better to find out before than to find out later and have a mess on your hands. But nonetheless, the more and more and longer time went, the more our desires for each other, what she liked, I wanted to like, what I liked, she wanted to like, and different things. But that's just an illustration of how God is and how his word should be to us. David had just got done talking about the Word of God and how he desired them and about the warnings that they gave. But yet, as we get into this last part, the way of God, we see he's pondered over all this stuff for who knows how long that it took him. You know, he may have wrote this down in one night, I don't know. But he did a lot of pondering about this, and his desires grew towards God. As we look into this last part, there's 3 points to that as well. The first one is the private sins. That's found in verse 12. The second one is the presumptuous sins, found in verse 13. And then in verse 14, our memory verse, is preventing sins. Colby, can you help us out a little bit? Not with the private or presumptuous sins or anything, but the air. But nonetheless, we're gonna try to look at these here each week as we go through, and then we're gonna get into the private sins this morning. So buckle your seatbelts. David here in verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sins. David's pondering again. Who can understand his errors? His errors, he's meaning him, or as you and I read that, we can put our name in there. How can I understand my sins or my errors? But he says here in the second part, cleanse thou me from secret faults. So there's a problem here, but there's also an answer to it. Private sins. In all of David's ponderings, the works of the Word of God, he finds himself being convicted of his private sins. Sins which other people do not see. This means he's truly convicted. It's one thing to be convicted by the preaching of the Word of God. And yes, the preaching of the Word of God does bring conviction. It should bring conviction. If you can sit in these services over and over again, whether it's Sunday school, the church, the special meetings, anything, and never get convicted, as pastor would say, we need to talk. I know that the Pastor Wilson handles things, and I'm not questioning his handling of things by me saying this, but invitations are a little bit different with him, and I understand that, and I'm totally good with that. But you don't always need 5, 10, 15 verses of an invitation song to respond. If God has spoken to your heart and convicted you in a message, whether it's here, the next service, the evening service, a special meeting, then you need to make it right. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. David here wasn't in church when he wrote this. Matter of fact, he was probably out tending his father's sheep. If everything I've read is right about this and the timing of it, we don't know for sure. But certainly it was probably wrote in earlier years of his life. And David's out here, he's just looking at the heavens and meditating, pondering upon them and how good God is and thinking about God's word. And all of a sudden, it dawns on him. He changes gears here. And after he verse 11 kind of starts the shift, where he says, moreover, by them, that's the word of God and all the things there, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. And we talked about great reward last week, and all that's good. But all of a sudden, he grabs another gear, and he says, whew, you know, there's great reward, but man, there's some things in my life that are private. Now, don't expect me to stand up here this morning and name private sins, because my study of private sins has determined one thing. They're private. I'm not here to confess my private sins to you, and you aren't here to confess them to me. This is not the place nor time of that, and you don't have to go sit in a confessional booth and talk to a knothead through a knothole to confess your sins. That doesn't work either. You can simply do it right where you're at if conviction comes upon you. And Pastor would agree with this too. Sometimes coming here and just taking care of things kind of seals it for you. I can't explain that. But I know that it does. And as far as I know, Pastor Wilson is totally fine with this altar being open to each and every one of us at any time that the need be. But nonetheless, we'll get off on too much any other things here. David, he switches into this gear and he says, who can understand his errors? I mean, that reward stuff's great. But man, I don't really deserve this. I don't deserve no great reward. As he just pondering and thinking about all this stuff over and over again. Because David knows what? What does David know about David? I'll open this up. Wyatt, what does David know about David?
He's a wicked sinner.
He's a sinner. David knows David's, starts with H, heart. His inward parts. We'll get to that here in a couple minutes. There's no, your answer is good. It's not wrong. But David knows David's heart. Why do you know your heart? What you can understand. And that's what David is saying here. He says, who can understand it? I'll go through times in my life where, we confess our sins and everything's good and we're going along. And the next thing you know, something's done crept in. And I don't even realize it until that Holy Spirit speaks to me. Now, David was in a different dispensation here where the Holy Spirit came and went, but we have him all the time. And you and I should not only be convicted under the preaching of the Word of God, but we should be, if we're truly saved, there should be times, any given time of the day or night, that Holy Spirit should be have free reign to where it can convict us of a sin. And David said, I can't quite understand this, but there's things that pop up. And therefore, they have to be taken care of. That's why he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's inward stuff, folks. That's private. It happens within the thoughts and intents of our heart. God knows them. Private sins. There's two things I want to see here. If we can get to all these verses, I will be talking as fast as an auctioneer. But two things about the private sins I want to look at. The first one is comprehending the private sins. We've already touched on this a little bit. We're not going to go back there, but you could go back to Leviticus chapter 4, where it explains sin of ignorance and sin of trespass. All these things, David knew them. He knew about them because he knew the Word of God. He says, who can understand his errors? Who can discern, perceive, or be cognizant of his sins accurately? Who can? It's not, if it was just up to us, we'd probably just let them all go. But being saved and indwelled by the Holy Spirit pokes the bear every now and then to see what's going on. Because if he lives within and we have sin in our lives, it grieves him. I'm sure he does not want to be grieved, and I don't want to grieve him, but I do. It's the struggle that we face with the natural man, the old man and the new man. We often overlook many of our sins, especially those that are secreted from others, ones that no one else knows. Trying to know what to cut out and what not to. Turn back to Joshua chapter 7. While you're turning there, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, the last part of that verse, behold, or be sure your sin will find you out. Joshua chapter 7, you know where we're going. If you've been in the Word of God of any time, Joshua chapter 7 has to deal with the sin of Achan. And I do not have time to go through this whole chapter. I've read over it, and there's so much I would want to look at. I think maybe for sake of time, just go down here to verse 24. You know, the backstory here of how Achan took wedge of gold and other things that he wasn't supposed to from the spoil of the battle, and he wasn't supposed to do this, as it was against the Lord and against what he was supposed to be doing, what the children of Israel were supposed to be doing, what God commanded them to do. He chose to do different, and he hid it. Now, I don't know if Mrs. Achan knew and all the little Achans, but they found out in the end of it all. In verse 24, it said, and Joshua and all Israel all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the wedge of silver, the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor, and to this day. You can go back and read chapter 7 if you're not familiar with that. Even if you are familiar with it, go back and read it and see what was done and how that Achan hid his sin. It was a secret sin. Now, that particular sin was something you could hold. Studying over this, my thoughts are that's a good example, because sometimes a secret sin can be something you can hold. But I find more that it's the inward things, the things that we have inside, that we keep inside, that are sins. Turn over to Job chapter 24. I got these in order, how I did that, but I do. Job 24, got several verses to read here and a little bit of time to do it in. Job, boy, I got arrows and lines everywhere on my notes here. Job 6:24. Being a little dyslexic here this morning, I'm sorry. Job chapter 6 and verse 24. Chapter 6 and 24. Job says here, and I don't believe Job was sinning here, but just let's just take his word once, and this is Job speaking. It says, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Job's asking the Lord to teach him, to show him. You know, I've used the other verse, I can't remember the reference right now, in Job, where he says, who teacheth like him, speaking of the Lord. And Job is saying, Lord, teach me. I don't know what it is that's in here that's wrong. I don't know what may be holding me back. But, Lord, teach me. And he says here one thing. He says, teach me to hold my tongue. Or we're so quick to shoot out words, harmful words, dividing words. We can shoot them out quick and not even think about it. You know, one of those sayings, every now and then I pop out those sayings that I remember my father telling me growing up. And I don't know how many times I heard this from a man of few words. Very quiet, pretty much quiet mannered man, quiet speaking man, said, think about what you say before you say it. And we're in a day and age where we just, somebody says something to us in a little bit of a crossway, you know, we just fire back. Is that what we're supposed to do as Christians? And I know, and I'm one, I like just exchange jabs with you folks a little bit, you know? Not that we're not fighting. We're just carrying on a little bit. And sometimes it might be foolish jesting. I don't know. It might fall into that compartment. I don't know. But think about what you say. And Job says here, teach me to hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Job wanted to understand what he had done wrong. Because what? He wanted his heart to be right. His heart to be right with the Lord and with man. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Psalm 90 and verse 8. David here again. Well, actually, I'm sorry. This is not David. This is a prayer of Moses. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We're talking about private sins this morning, secret sins. David was saying, who can understand them? How do I understand them? Moses here was saying in Psalm chapter 90, thou hast set, speaking of the Lord, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. It's a humbling thing to know that we'll stand before the Lord one day, preacher. All I can say is I plead the blood. But we will have to answer for things we've said and done. I believe that. But there's some things I don't know that I'm going to be able to come up with a good answer for. And the fact that he says here that he set our iniquities, our sins before thee, before God, and our, not just them, not just our sins, but our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, he shined the light on them and made them known. If you shine the light on something, you're making it known. I give the example over and over again about my dependence upon flashlights and work lights and stuff like that in the line of work that I do. But I want to see something. I want to see what's wrong. I get the light on it. The eyesight of this 57-year-old is depleting faster than I want it to be. And not that I want it to be at all, but I, you know, many times I had to call another guy that works with me that's about 30, I think he's 35 now, and I'll say, come over here with your young eyes. I can't see this, and he'll kind of chuckle, you know, but I'm like, when you get here, bud, you're not going to like it. And, you know, at the age, but shining light on it, that's what Moses is saying here, that our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Think about that, folks. Our secret sins. Again, I don't want to know yours, and don't ask me mine. They're private. They're secret, but they need to be taken care of. Think about our secret sins in the light of God's countenance. In that light. In this light. You know, it wasn't just mentioned back in Psalm 19. We're seeing more and more about secret sins. I don't know if we're not going to get there this morning. We're not even going to get to the second part of this. But when we will, I'll take time to do this next week. We're going to look over at Romans and see what Paul said in chapter 7, the struggle that he had. Folks, I'm not pointing fingers at you this morning. I'm not trying to nail you to the wall for your secret sins, because trust me, in studying for this, there's been a lot of conviction. There's been a lot of light shining on this guy right here. Because you can't study this stuff, can you, preacher? You can't study it and stand up here and do it without taking care of things. It does. It comes home. And you can, hey, if God's got to take care of it through me, so he can take care of it with you, then so be it. In the light of thy countenance, we'll, I would love to read more context in all these, but we do not have time for that. We did skip over one. Let's look at one more, and then we'll finish up with that. I had them in order, and then I couldn't read my chicken scratch, so back to Psalm 40. How can we not talk about sin and making things right without talking about Psalm 40? Psalm 40, my goodness. You know Psalm 40. I'll read you a couple verses in the beginning. I will skip down here. We're looking to 11 through 13, but as it started here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and trust in the Lord. David here was expressing how he thought, what he thought of the sin that the Lord had brought him out of. He wasn't physically in a horrible pit of miry clay, but in his mind, he knew that the sin was a horrible pit, and it was miry clay. It was a pit. If you ever been in a pit, they're not made to just walk right up out of. There's something, a trap. Most of them were a trap. You think about Joseph and how he fell in the pit and all that, how Jeremiah was put in the pit. It wasn't a place you were just going to get out of, and he's talking about being saved and brought out of the horrible pit. Now the miry clay got a hold of you. It sticks to your feet. It pulls your boots off when you try to walk. That's how it's got a hold of you, and it keeps you. But David says here that he brought him up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. Boy, if you've ever been in a sticky, muddy situation, when you get out of it and you're on solid ground, you feel pretty good. Yeah. I don't personally get out on too many of the jobs at my job working for this excavating company now, but I'm pretty much always in the shop working on stuff. But every now and then we get out there and I see the guys in there trekking around in the mud and their muck boots on and everything else. And I'm like, boy, I'm glad I'm not out here. But that's just the line of work. But if you're ever in that kind of situation and you get on solid ground on a rock, you feel good. You feel lighter. You get that clay. You get that muck off of you. But what was David saying here, where I'm trying to get to, go down to verse 11, said, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me. Mine iniquities have taken hold of, upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart fainteth. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Back there in verse 12, it says, innumerable evils have compassed me. Mine iniquities, not everybody else's, he says, mine iniquity hath taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. Our secret sins will keep us from looking up. Our secret sins will drag us down. They'll be like that miry clay. They'll hold us down. That David says here, they've got a hold of him. I got wrote beside that verse in my Bible, what has a hold on you? What has a hold on you? Another growing up phrase was, what's going on with you? What's got a hold of you? I've heard that before. What's got into you, Tracy? You ever heard that? What's got into you, young man? What's got a hold of you? David said here that his secret sins, he couldn't understand them. It was hard for him to understand. But yet, over here, David's speaking as well in chapter 40, and there's so much more here that I'd love to touch on, but we are out of time. He says, they have taken hold of me, upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart fainteth. Eventually, you just faint when you think about all the things that may have gotten a hold of you. But then he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And the Lord certainly does help David here. And he will help you and I. I wish I had another 15, 20 minutes. I want to connect, and we'll do it next week because we don't have time. But we talked about that was the comprehending of private sins. I spent time on it because I want you to understand that you've got to understand what your private sins are. Folks, we just can't keep pushing them aside and going down the road, because the Holy Spirit lives within us if we're truly saved, and private sins grieve him. And sin is sin. And so therefore, it's hindering us. It's hindering us from growing. If our children, if we knew something was wrong and they weren't growing, we would say, man, what's going on? We'd get them to the doctor. We'd try to find out what's going on. Why is little Johnny, 3 foot tall and he just won't grow no more? And, he's not eating right and everything else. But in our own lives, we tend to, push those things aside because they're private. And if nobody else knows about them, then we think we're okay. Or I'll take care of it later. Folks, today is the day. I urge you to take care of your private sins. I wanted to get to the cleansing of the private sins, and we'll get to that next week. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes my notes are just notes. I believe I did what the Lord wanted me to do. I just pray that each and every one of us will examine our hearts. And if there's private sins, I'm not saying that there's private sins in your life and lives, but there may be. If there is, take care of it. Bring it to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had in your word. Lord, we went a little bit long, but I pray that you bless now. May your spirit continue to move, folks, and help us to take care of those things that are private in our lives that may be hindering us, Lord, that may be hindering the work of God, the word of God, the church of God. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Help us to stay right with you. In Jesus' name, amen.